Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. This is Star. And we're in the month of December, and we're looking at the holidays coming up. And holy days or holidays are very important times of our lives. It's the time of life when we gather with our greatest teachers, and that's our family and our DNA. And sometimes it's the joyous of seasons, and sometimes it's a time we need to work on ourselves. So, holidays. How can you become whole for the holidays? So, the idea of being whole is to complete all the five senses. So, of course, we eat, we dine, we listen to music, and the smells of the Christmas. And what do you feel? Have you turned down your feelings where you don't feel the holidays? And what do you look like? What do you see when you see the holidays? Do you see the lights? You know, many, many years ago, many, many great teachers, prophets, and masters developed a lot of rituals for us. And we know that Muhammad developed the ritual of washing your hands three times a day. He couldn't say, hey, you know, there's these little things called germs, and they're so microscopic you can't see them, and you need to wash your hands three times a day or you'll get sick from eating food with your hands and the germs on it. He couldn't say that at that period of time. And I love the tale of the Christmas tree. And the Christmas tree is like a pineal gland when it stands straight up. That's kind of what it looks like inside. When you become actively spiritual and actively using this gland, there is a little substance that gathers around this gland, and it puts multicolored bulbs of chemicals and hormones. So what happens is, for those who are spiritually inclined, connected to source, who are aware, the inside of their third eye, they have a little bit of Christmas tree going on there. And from what I understand, under the microscope, this particular chemical is phosphorescent fluorescent. So somewhere years and years ago in the past, someone developed the Christmas tree, decorating the tree with various globes and bulbs of light, various apples, popcorn. And so when we look outside of ourselves, we see what our pineal gland can be like inside of ourselves. And it's, once again, as above, so below, inside, outside. There are so many things that have been given to us with the holy days. In many traditions, we recite stories of what was, stories of words that great people said. With the Catholic Church, we have the Advent calendar, and each day is important, and each day has a practical and a story that goes with it. And of course, with Hanukkah, there are the lighting of the candles and one light going on at a time. Now, how do you feel? Do you feel pressured, pushed, hectic during the holidays? Do you feel left out and alone? Do you feel overwhelmed by the holidays? Do you want to get out and participate, say hello to people, say your holiday greeting to people, or do you just want to shrink into the background and stay home? Holy days, holidays are our indications and our celebrations about being home. And you know that a long, long time ago that the winter solstice and the summer solstice were very, very important to pagans and to people who celebrated earthly rituals. And this is a time of year when it comes time to rest. The garden rests in the winter. Do you rest in the winter? You know, Star, how can I rest? I've got a 9-to-5 job. And I'll say to you, wow, you know, that's a good 8 hours of your day. And there seems to be another 8 hours taken by sleeping. And then there's another full 8 hours for you to choose to participate in life. Has your attitude gone bright with light? Do you participate with the community? Have you become a mini Scrooge and bah humbug on all the holidays? You know, whether it is the birth of Jesus or whether it is any of the holy days, it is a time for celebration. It is a time for family. It is a time for you to gather and be merry. Now, I got all sorts of excuses, and I've heard them all. Oh, it's so material. The whole process of this is it's Jesus' birthdays. You know, this isn't about giving. And you can say a million things, and most of them will be half-truths. But at the time when the day, the light becomes the shortest, how are we doing there?
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Are we good?
We got call, no answer.
Okay. So can you run something now?
I don't have anything now. I do have questions for you if you want them.
Great. I think we'll do that in just a second. So when the day becomes the shortest and there is less light, we bring more light from inside of ourselves by our attitude, by our energy, and we bring that light to the holy days. Great. I am ready to do some questions now.
Well, I'm actually going to shoot off with the first one. And, you know, this time of year, you know, Star, is, you know, the time when, you know, in tradition, outside of spirituality, this is the time when people make year-end resolutions. And, you know, when I think about year-end resolutions, I think more about intention and, you know, wanting to shift or set the best energy for the 2015 year. And I'm just wondering what tips you have for... what is the best way of doing that as a spiritual person?
Well, the very best way about doing that is not to do 20 intentions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to fix a house. I'm going to fix the break down, buy a new car. I'm going to get a new job. Is to focus on two or three things that you're ready to do. And we hear two statements many, many years at New Year's, and most of these do not work. And the number one is, I'm going to lose weight. And the number two is, I'm going to stop smoking. And when the year ends, it does give us a marvelous energetic push. But you got to remember, if you're not ready to do something, an affirmation or a resolution, another solution, resolution, will not enable you to do it. So do something, make a resolution that is doable. And the resolutions, affirmations, should stretch 10 to 20%. And if you're going to lose weight, that could mean a pound next year. And if you're going to lose 10 pounds next year, that would be maybe more appropriate, or 3 pounds a month. Know yourself. And I think if you know yourself, you know what you have done, and you know what you're able to do. Does that kind of answer that question for you?
Yeah, it did. Thank you, Star. All right, okay. Let's bring on some people for you to talk to here. We're going to start with Casper. Let's bring Casper
okay.
on. Casper, you're on with Star.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How can I be of service?
So I kind of, I called Christy, or her business. I guess she might be coming today to talk.
She was supposed to be, but I imagine something came up. And do you have a spiritual question?
Yeah, well, I called her and her talk show, or not talk show host, but one of the people who works for gave me your number, so I kind of called on a whim. I've been stressed about a lot of stuff, made a lot of rash decisions in the last few weeks, and I don't really know how to deal with them, especially coming towards the holidays. And it's kind of coming to like a head point where I have to make some decisions.
Okay, so doing nothing is a decision. So when you don't make a decision, what happens is the pressure of whatever the questions are multiply. So it's like 1 times 1 is 3. 2 times 2 equals 8. Do you get what I'm saying? So
yeah.
The longer you wait for you to make, if there's 6 things going on, for you to get up tomorrow morning and make one decision, and with your intentions and with your knowledge of yourself, then you're going to take a half or a quarter of your stress off of you. The no decisions, I don't know enough, I'll wait and see what Spirit says, that can multiply stress for you. So my suggestion is you get up tomorrow morning, you look deeply into yourself, see, feel, and know what you can accomplish, and then make one decision. After you make that decision, write down 3 or 4 steps that you have to take to do that decision. When is your birthday?
July 20th.
July 20th. So December 20th will be your halfway point. I think after the Christmas holidays that most of your decisions will be made. That even if one is an inappropriate decision, you will learn from it, so it's still a valuable decision. I feel that there's extra pressures with your astrology right now. I feel there's extra pressures with you waiting for other people to make a decision that affects you, correct?
Yes.
And I feel that to break this energy, to shift this energy, to change this energy. Tomorrow you need to make one decision about one of the things, write down some steps to handle it, and what will follow is God, Spirit, will answer some of your decisions. You'll answer some of your own decisions. And all this stress and worry and unknowing, you know, not knowing what's going to happen, will unwind itself from you.
Okay.
All right. I got to
awesome.
Ask
Thank
the
you
question.
Very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
All righty. Hey, Star, guess who I found?
Stig.
Well, yeah, you're right there. You must be psychic. How about Christine?
Okay. Hi,
Christine.
It's not Christine. It's Krista Kane.
Hi, Krista.
There we go,
Kane.
Krista Kane.
There
Hi,
you are.
I am so sorry. I'm out getting tuxedos for a wedding, and then I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to call in 5 minutes, and I could not find the number to save my life.
Well, we got you now, and unfortunately, or very fortunately, one of your clients just called in, and I answered their question. So,
well, thank you very much.
That's good. Krista, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know you've been on the show before, but our listeners vary. So tell us about yourself.
I am a naturally born psychic medium. There is a lot of negative connotations still around the word psychic. But more than anything, the favorite part of what I do is that I'm a medium. I'm also an author, and I write in the context of higher spirituality, human spiritual growth. And I work as a spiritual coach to help improve relationships.
And you have a couple of books also. What are the titles of those books?
The first book that I wrote that I released in 2010 is called From Victim to Valor. And it teaches us how to adjust the lens of our thinking in any given situation where we feel like we have been victimized or we have been wronged, and to help pull us out of state of victimhood to find the good in every situation and to literally use it to propel you in your life. That's the first one. The second book is it's Journey Through Love and Loss. And it kind of combines a lot of poetry with a lot of principles and understandings that I've gained along the way in my coaching about relationships. So, like, every chapter starts with this laying the foundation to the relationship and how these pieces coming up relate to that principle.
Both of those books we can get at going to KristaKane.com. And will you spell us your name, please?
I will. It's KristaKane.com. And it's also available on Amazon.com. I also just not even 1 year ago released my third book called Standing Between the Worlds. You Just Can't Make This Stuff Up. And it explains what happens when you pass, the difference between spirit and soul. It answers a lot of those gray areas that so many of us were left with because of religious upbringing. And as a bonus, I've included actual transcriptions from several of my favorite readings. And some that just, like, you know, are just, they're mind blowers. Some readings will blow your mind all the way through, some here and there, but there's always something in that. And I included a section in the back for you to learn to maintain a connection with your loved ones in spirit without the use of a medium, all on your own.
That sounds very powerful, and especially for people who've done a little bit of spiritual work and for people who've done a lot. And you're talking about you can't make this stuff up. You know, there were so many, many people who have had experiences, psychic experiences, experience with spirits, them thinking something and it happening. And so many people don't have the comprehension that this happens to a lot of people a lot of times. You know, and I think reading something like this is very important, or getting into the group to discuss things is very, very important, because our brain, before we start training spiritually, is very logical. And says, nah, you didn't see that. That wasn't that important. No, you're just making things up. And the more we talk to people, the more we realize that we can skip over a whole bunch of great supernatural and psychic experiences, because our brain will rationalize what happened or that it was something else happening.
In the way that we were taught.
Exactly. The map that our parents gave us to follow.
Exactly. I had that conversation just today with a couple who have different outlooks, different understandings of God, Jesus, Satan, heaven, hell, all of that. And those are my most favorite conversations to have. So they kind of put out their debates a little bit. Well, wait a minute. The church tells us, wait, how is that? How could you explain to me the church telling us that we have to, no matter how good of a person we are, that we have to accept Jesus into our hearts as Lord and Savior, okay? And I said, well, I could tell you what the Bible says, or I can tell you what the words written in red said. And I think you probably would get a lot more out of those. So I sat down with them, and I explained. I said, obviously, you guys have a Christian upbringing, or you wouldn't be asking me these questions. And I said, how many times in the Bible did Jesus say, do not worship me? It is not me, but the Father, meaning the Creator. And how many people do? And when they ask you, when you're asked to see Jesus as Lord and Savior, Lord means keeper of the law. In the Hebrew times in which those scriptures were written. Was he a keeper of the law? Certainly he was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly he was. And we are told from the church that we are lowly and less than, and if we don't live in such amount of way and do such amount of thing, that we will burn in hell and there will be no heaven. And I said, remember, again, the words in red. Jesus said, all of these things I do, you will do and more. And that's what's going on with us right now here, Star, with you and I and everyone like us. All of these things I do, you will do and more. And what did he do? He was a prophet. He was a medium. He raised Lazarus from the dead, right? Had a conversation with him.
Healing.
He was a healer. He was a teacher. He was a motivator.
So, you know, I have a Bible that I really like, and the Bible's called the George Lampsa Bible. And George Lampsa came from a place in Turkey where they spoke the original Aramaic. And Aramaic was a very, very small language, meaning that it had very few words in it, and several words meant several things, or each word meant several things. And I love reading the Lampsa Bible, and that's what I use with people when I'm working with them. And, for example, when we go back to the Garden of Eden, and we go and it says that they ate of the apple of evil, from the tree of evil. And evil, the same Aramaic word for unripe, is the same word for evil. And Lanza goes and writes the Bible from the original Aramaic, and you find out that sin was an archery or a bow and arrow or a throwing term.
Yep, meaning
sin
to you, off the mark.
Off the mark.
Off
and
the mark.
And he has this, you look at this Bible and you see where he actually says, here are some other choices, meanings in the original Aramaic for that. And you start looking at the Bible as a whole new piece of work. And it starts re-meaning things to you. You know, and it's really interesting to notice that the game of telephone. When I say something to one person and they say it to another person, by the time it gets to the end of the line, 10 people later, it's a whole different statement.
Right.
Because
right.
Each of us interpret what is being said. And
because it's supposed to be a private conversation, isn't it? It's a private conversation. It's a one-on-one relationship. When we started out on this topic, Star, you were talking about how people believe what they believe because they were taught to believe it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And also I say something else. They see what they believe.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Definitely. I explained this to my son the other day. He said, you know, he was asking me because he wants me to write a law of attraction book. And he said, you have to say something to me that I can understand at my age. And I said, you talk about believing. I don't know how to believe. I looked at the sky. I pointed at it. I said, what color is the sky? He said, blue. I said, how do you know? Because I always know. How did you ever find out that the sky was blue? You guys told me. Oh, wait, I told you something was true? And then you experienced it enough until you believed it. You need to tell yourself something is true and experience it enough to believe it. And the only reason that it's blue is because someone somewhere out there said, I think I'll call that blue, and this is how we'll spell it. And it's
but
the same thing.
But you know what's really
thing.
Even more interesting? What if the color that you were taught blue is my red?
Right, exactly.
And
exactly.
What if we see differently? I know we don't because of the way scientists have told us, but I am awed and amazed that the human eye can tell the difference between 10 million colors, and we probably have 2,000 words for the colors.
Yep, you're probably right. And so it's just that. It's just a matter of, you know, and asking people, you know, why are you, we're coming into a new year. This is the time for deep reflection, a time to think, what is it I want to create next year? You know, you can certainly help to zoom in on what you do want to experience if you've had enough of what you don't want to experience. That makes it easy. But then the key in that is to realize that you hold all the power. This couple I was talking to today, he said, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to, I live my life as a very decent guy. I am very good and helpful to people. Am I supposed to just say, okay, God, as he's looking up at the sky, I put it all in your hands and therefore it will be perfect. And I said, no, you're missing the whole point. The whole point is the part where Jesus said, the Father is in me, and I am in you, and you are in the Father, meaning we're all made from the same stuff. The object here is to realize how powerful you are, and that turning it all over to God means turning your troubles over to the highest part of yourself, that part of yourself that sought those out to begin with so that they could heal.
And I think that's really, really important, and what's important is you got to know thyself.
Yes.
You got to know what you're you're good at. You got to know what you think you're good at, and you got to know when life is very resistant to you, is this encouragement or is this a sign to stop? Because resistance can be either one of them.
Right.
And if you don't know yourself, you can't say let go and let God, because
No, you absolutely can't. But you have to get back to the integrity of yourself.
Oh, come on. What's integrity? Come on.
Your authentic nature is integrity. So people don't get it.
Integrity is being polite. Integrity
right.
is the golden
right.
rule. You know,
that's really not what it is, though.
And, you know, they expect somebody to make the decision for them. You know, it's like, and they treat people like crap, and then they want everybody to treat them good. You know, and this whole values and integrity thing is the basis of who we are, who we become, and what we leave behind.
The thing that I end up telling all of my clients, especially coaching clients, when they feel like they don't really know what they want, or they don't know what they want in one area, or they're not motivated enough, I take them through a process of what did you like to do when you were a little kid? That's where we start, because we're, you know, before people get their hands on us and screw us up so much, we are so authentic. So what did you like to do? I like to paint. I like to draw. I like to make origami, whatever. Okay. And when's the last time you did something like that? Oh, well, I did it before after my grandma died, but I haven't touched it since. Okay. What would you do if time and money were no issue? How would you spend your time? Oh, I'd be doing all kinds of crafty things. Great. You would really do it if you had all the time in the world and money was no issue. Oh, yeah, I'd make crafty things all the time. Okay. What would you do if you actually had to pay to do it? I'd still make crafty things. Now we're on to something. Now we're on to this is why you're here. This is your purpose here. When you feel that spark inside of you, it's like God lighting a fire under your tuchus and going, come on, mama, let's go. And you're literally inspired. You're in the place of spirit. And those are the things we're sent here to do.
It's so amazing how many people have had a childhood dream or a teen dream, and they did something for security for 20, 30 years, and then they go back and become the dancer, the painter, and they finally find satisfaction in it. You know, it's like, oh, yes. I can't make money doing that. Well, it's wonderful. Money doesn't buy happiness. So
That's
do
right.
that, and the money will come. So
I have to tell you, Star, before I stepped into this professionally, when my mom passed, I took over her business, Sizz. She had three, okay? Basically became the matriarch of the family and had to teach, you know, easy things like where we keep the forks in the house. So it took me away from my creative side, my more spiritual side. It took me away, and I was in that just regular worldly stuff of business all the time, making money. We had all the toys. We had all the toys you could imagine, which of course means we had all the debt that goes with the toys. And I knew that I did not want to be in the marriage that I was in. That was what it was. And that those businesses, those toys, those houses, all of that tied me even tighter. So I made the decision to close the business, be done with it, and to do only the things that feel good to me. And I can tell you it was not a year and a half later, and I was working full-time doing what I do now.
Well, it's important. It's important to realize when you're bought into security or bought into the rat race, and it's important to know how you feel. And some people's feelings have turned off because they've gotten numb for security. When you start feeling, you will know what is good for you. And all of us have different things that are good for us. You know, there's some, we have some similar things. If I'm outside naked in the cold storm, that's not good for me. You know, we get similar things that are not good for us. But our heart runs a big part of our life.
Mm-hmm, as it should.
And if we're not in our heart and doing what feels good, what makes us feel good, then we're going to run into all sorts of challenges.
Yep.
Problems, illnesses.
How about heart attacks?
Or how about the, you think so hard that you have a stroke so you don't have to think?
It's not even that. It's like if you're neglecting your heart, it's
yeah.
not going to sustain.
It's
you know, Louise Hay will tell you that no person in love will ever have a heart attack.
And if you're thinking about the correct things and being in your own good, you're not going to have a stroke.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
when you force yourself to do things and be things that you are not.
Yeah, exactly.
What a wonderful world it would be if we were all happy, because then we wouldn't covet our neighbor's good, want our neighbor's land. We wouldn't be prejudiced, you
yeah.
know. And it's kind of interesting. So for many people, this holiday season is really hard, because you go back to family members that you disagree with, that you agree with, that you love.
Star.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
And we get
ready
to
for
be,
callers when you are.
Just one more sentence. We get to be with people who teach us how not to be. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes those are our best teachers. I'm
oh,
ready
yeah.
for that first call. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Lisa, you're on.
Hi, Star. Hi, Krista.
Hi,
hello,
Lisa. What's your questions tonight?
I don't really have a question. I just want to know who's around me, and I just want to feel them.
Okay, Lisa, Krista, you can go first, honey.
I'm sorry?
You go first.
Okay, I didn't know what you said. She has a grandmother presence around her that feels like she feels like someone who would have come out of Leave It to Beaver. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Okay. Is she affiliated at all with your dad?
No, my mom. If it's the same grandma that's been around.
Okay. Okay. You have another grandparent in spirit?
Yes.
Okay. Which is the grandparent in spirit that I felt spent a lot of time outside?
I'm wondering if that could be Granny.
Is and affiliated with your dad?
Yes.
Do you recognize that the worse your dad gets, the more you feel her presence?
Yes.
And I think that the really super sweet grandma has got to be there because you do need sweetness in your life. Okay? But this
okay.
is, it's a knock on the door for you. It really is. To really work on mending your relationship with your dad. I don't feel like, I don't want to say, I hate saying, giving a positive message. Let me think of how I could say this differently. I think the time that you have with him is very, very valuable. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And you know what?
I called it. What?
As you, and this will be a face-to-face. I know you don't see how it's going to happen, but it will be a face-to-face. And when you do, please, please, and no one can tell you what to do, but please consider taking the opportunity to lay your issues on the table, because once you do that with him, which is where this started, it will begin to heal generationally through you, through your children, okay, through your past, present, and future relationships, for your children's relationships.
Wow.
Well,
this
is a very profound DNA healing. So I want you to take Goody Two Shoes and put her on one side, and Helen Heartwarmer, you know, the character of Helen Heartwarmer who warms her heart, put her to the front on this. You can heal everybody with 1/32 of your DNA.
Okay.
Got it. Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
All righty. Let's bring on Michelle. Michelle, you're on.
Hi. How are you ladies tonight, first of all?
I'm fine.
Good.
A friend of mine referred me to Krista. Her name is Lindsay. About some things that are happening this month that I'm really nervous about. And the best way to explain it is my mom's birthday was the Christian Christmas. And I lost her the 27th of last year of December.
So sorry.
Lately, it's just like I've been feeling her right next to me. And especially around Halloween, it felt like she was trying to tell me something. We would be sitting in our old house playing Scrabble. That was her favorite game together. But I could never read any of the words on the board.
Can I ask you, are you the favorite?
I was the youngest daughter, and I was also the mama's girl to her. My older sister was the father's girl.
Okay, so plain and simple, you're the favorite. We all have favorites. We really, really, really do. Mine just seem to change by the day. But we do have our favorites, okay? I have five kids, so I got to kind of break it up. She knows that you're hurting. She knows that you're hurting as this time approaches you. This is her way of letting you know, I'm here. I'm here. And why do I feel like her ankle swelled? Did she have to sit a lot, or were her ankles swollen?
She had to sit a lot because of her cancer. She ended up dealing with four, in my lifetime that I'm aware of, she dealt with four different types of cancer. Brain cancer being the last one that actually ended up killing her because they couldn't operate on it.
Right. You do know the cancer begins in the weakest part of the body. And here's how I want to say this, because cancer, like all illness, has an emotional root. Now, before people start blowing up your lines and going, she's so full of crap, okay, anyone can hurt themselves or anyone can get a cold. But when you hang on to that, that becomes illness. It's all rooted in emotions. So people who have heart attacks, that's where their weakness is in their heart, okay? People who have diabetes, it's from lack of sweetness in their life. The brain, that being your mom's last place it went, doesn't surprise me a bit because she was obviously strongest in her brain. Does that make sense to you? Like it was her mind that got her to beat it all those other times.
I mean, it doesn't help the fact that she ended up having three brain surgeries, like, years before the brain cancer hit, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Now, what's your first name?
Michelle.
Michelle. You, I can feel that you are still very, very much in the space of seeing her past. Does that make sense? It's like you're mourning her loss, her passing.
I can't
imagine.
Stop.
No, you can. It's just it takes work, okay? Imagine if you could get to a place where you celebrated her life. Really.
It's really hard to right now when you add in the fact that her birthday was Christmas. It was something that up until last year, when I couldn't afford to go down there, I would make the trip every year to her to put up a Christmas tree because it was something that me and her did. And then it's just really hard this year. She never really met my husband in person. She only saw her youngest grandson once. And it's just, it's a lot to deal with, especially since, while I love my husband, he doesn't understand the loss of a parent.
No, I get that. I get that. Can I tell you, she's there to let you know she's there. And when you get these experiences of her, instead of letting yourself go to, you know, oh my gosh, my grandma's dead,
think, wow, you know what? She's right here with me. She's here for you. And please,
I did that when we were putting up the tree because I felt her. When I had to put up the Christmas tree, my husband had been at work. My son was napping. So, I took advantage of it while I can. I have a 3-year-old son. If you have kids, you know how 3-year-olds are.
Yeah.
And so I took advantage of the time I had, but I felt her there. And, you know, I've been told I'm crazy for this, but I talked to her as if she was sitting on my couch.
Yeah, there's nothing crazy about it. Absolutely.
I don't think there's anything crazy about that.
Nope. Ask her for signs. Ask her for things like, send me a feather. Let me smell your perfume. Let me see your face. Ask her for signs. Do you have my new book?
No, actually, I don't. I'm actually...
Okay.
Christmas is not only hard on that end, but finance-wise, we just moved down here not too long ago. I moved closer to a military base.
When you hang up, get in touch with Lindsay and tell her that Krista would like to give you a book, okay? And I need to know your mother's first name because her name is going to be in the inscription, okay?
Deborah, but she went by Debbie.
I promise you, as I live and breathe, I promise you that she is there with you and that is the message she's trying to give you. But when you are in such a state of grief, you create miles and miles and miles of distance between you and her. It's like you can't raise your vibration. You have to raise your vibration for her to reach you. If you're low, 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 then you're stuck in, oh, my God, now I'm really mourning her because now I'm not experiencing her, or I think it's her, but I'm not getting anything back. Okay?
And sometimes spirits get tired of giving signs. Now, listen, do you know what a tribute table is? A tribute table is a picture of your mother. And I would put, like, her favorite recipe, a little bit of her favorite type of jewelry. And then I would put, for your circumstances, a picture of you facing her, but also a picture of your husband because she didn't get to know him, and a picture of your son, right?
Yes.
So we put the pictures facing each other, and sometimes we can put, I don't know, like their hobbies, and I would take a little Christmas tree, because you and your mother decorated your Christmas tree, I would put that. But the picture faces a picture of you, faces a picture of your husband, faces everything you want her to know, and on this little table or little corner of a table, you put all the things that remind you of her so that her presence is always there and you don't grieve for her presence.
There's a problem with that because when she died, unfortunately, because my husband was going to deploy and we had to move, I didn't have the finances to go down there when she died. And I have nothing of hers because my dad, my biological father, won't give me anything, not even my baby book.
Do you have a picture of her at any age?
No.
Okay, well, why don't you look it up on the internet or put something that represents your mom, a ribbon, her favorite color. And financially, this shouldn't cost you anything. It's all symbolic. And you need for her to be there without you being so courted to her. Because when you court with someone who's passed on, the grief just goes on and on. And just know that she's always with you. And for me, for some people who are deeply grieving, the tribute table takes the grief outside of them, puts the presence of that person into their life. It's kind of like a fun altar that, you know, your son's picture and your husband's picture can be there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else, Krista?
Yeah, Michelle, would you please, when you do get in touch with Lindsay after the show, please get on my schedule if you can. I would love to have a private one-on-one with you. Okay?
Okay. I'll let Lindsay know that I need to get a hold of you.
I'm sorry?
I said, I'll let Lindsay know that I need to get a hold of you.
Okay. Let me give you, in fact, this way everyone has it. My work line is area code 615-601-0935. That's for the Mid-Tennessee area. And then my 800
You'll
number.
You'll have to give me a second because I don't have a finish.
I didn't ask you to pay for one, honey. My nationwide line is 844-367-5547. And my website is Krista Kane, KristaKane.com. If you send a text or call any one of those lines, you will reach Lindsay, okay? And we'll do whatever we can for you. When I get on the phone with someone, I don't ask for anything specific. I just say, help me give them what I need. And sometimes I know that I need to give them a reading, and sometimes I know that I need to give them a book or a little counseling, whatever they need.
Okay? I think it's important that you keep this commitment with Krista, sweetie, okay?
I will.
All right. You got
Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm glad you called.
Stacy, you're on.
Hi, Star. Hi, Krista.
Hi, sweetie. What's your question tonight?
Well, I have noticed that I've been going through a repeat pattern now for the past 3 years. About this time of year, I get myself into a predicament, and I'm noticing that it's a recurring pattern, and I've been trying to adjust so I don't continue to repeat the same pattern, but I'm still repeating the same pattern without consciously aware of the fact I'm repeating the pattern.
It's a relationship pattern, is it not?
No, it's career.
Are you career with the same people, involved with the same people, or same type of people?
No. This time of year, I either get fired or unemployed every year. It's Christmas time. Everybody's hiring. I have no job.
And did you get fired this time?
I'm still in limbo waiting to see whether I'm fired or I still have a job. And it's been 4 days.
At what point during the year do you begin to think about this?
I don't. I had an aha moment today after being off work for 4 days that it finally clicked. This is the third year that it happened.
So let me ask you, the job that you're doing, I am not going to let go of the relationship thing. I don't know where it comes in, but we're going to find out. The job that you're doing right now, or the types of jobs that you're doing, you enjoy them?
Yes. They're not my passion for life, but when I was doing my passion for life, I hung my door signs and I put out my pamphlets and nobody came. So I struggled doing that for about 9 months. And I transitioned into doing other kinds of work and still doing my passion part-time to keep me happy and healthy and fed spiritually the way I need to be. However, it doesn't sustain my family. So I had to make adjustments because being spiritual and happy and well-fed is great, but it doesn't feed my kid.
Right, except that there could possibly be some element that you might have been missing. Whenever something is taken away from us, we always have to look at, oh, wow, what do I need to have my hands empty for? There's obviously something coming my way. I need my hands empty. And if you are just doing a job, any job, just for the money, it will never sustain you.
Oh, it's not for the money, believe me. They're not good-paying jobs. They're the only jobs in this economy that I can find.
But you're taking these jobs because you need money. You're not taking these jobs because it's fulfilling to you and it makes you feel like you're making a difference in the world and you're living your soul.
No, they're within the healthcare field, which is kind of sort of along the lines of what I do. They're not hands-on healing or anything of that nature. However, they are in line with what I believe my path is, but they're not truly my path. It's kind of like a segue or an off-ramp. I don't know.
Okay, okay. Okay, I'm going to yield to you, I'm going to start.
I keep thinking that some type of relationship broke up 3 years ago. I'm dwelling on that relationship point that you're dwelling on, and it seems obviously that we're both not supposed to be dwelling on, but when were you last in a relationship?
I'm in a relationship now currently. I got divorced about 5 years ago in October.
In October!
And when was the final move out or the last paper? Was it signed around this time?
No, it was in limbo from October until January.
Okay, so, hold on.
Okay.
Going into the late fall is when you get the rug swept out from underneath you, correct, in this
mm-hmm.
relationship. And
mm-hmm.
then you go into this job because you can't count this relationship anymore, whatever, you go into this job. And about the same time of the year, the rug gets swept up from beneath you, every
mm-hmm.
time. This has nothing to do with the job. Tell me you know that.
I do
this
now.
here's the thing. Let me see. Have you ever been depressed?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, when you're depressed, and you know there's things you need to do, you need to go meet these people or apply for this job or do whatever, and you just know, God, I don't even want to be around me right now. I'm sure they don't either. And you do not present your best self, okay? And it's the same sort of a dynamic in what you're looking at now. It's like at this time of year, the pain, the rejection factor, is so prevalent in your psyche at this time that it's spilling over into other areas of your life.
And how do we eradicate this?
We have eradicate is a strong word. We want to improve this. So the trick to that is to go back to that relationship 5 years ago and heal that in your own heart. If you need to apologize, apologize. If he thinks you need to apologize, apologize. If you need to hear an apology, let yourself hear it. No ifs, ands, or buts, no nothing. I have a good friend that says, anything that comes after a but is bullshit. Okay? So it's just, I'm sorry. I never wanted this to go this way. I'm sorry for whatever I did to hurt you. I wish the absolute best for you, but you have to mean it. And when you heal that, at that core, okay, you instantly, it's like dominoes. Everything that has to do with that type of fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, they'll all begin to improve.
Okay, I'm going to twist this a little bit. Is it my root cause, or am I still tethered to him and it's his root cause?
You're the common denominator between the relationship and the work. But I knew I could not let go of a relationship. You're repeating the same patterns in your job that you did in your relationship. The same feelings are coming out of you. So heal it where it started. And you may find out it didn't start with him. You may find out it started with your dad who ran
off.
My mom, probably. You never know. Right. Find out where it started and you heal it. Just like I was saying to the first lady on the phone, generationally, you heal it.
I have gone down that path with her so many times, and I have given the healing, and I've stepped away, and I've been there, and I've let the abuse happen. It's a toxic parent relationship. It's not something at my age that I can continue.
How about this? How about this? How about you write her a letter? And in this letter,
we've done that before, too.
All those, hold on. I'm trying to put you into a different frame of mind as you do things that you may have done previously, okay?
Okay.
You write the letter. You have to bring up the emotion because the emotion is what sits inside of you that attracts this again and again and again. You start with her. You're the one who's calling Lindsay, right?
No.
No, that's another one.
Okay. I have a book called From Victim to Valor. Okay? Your mother was abusive?
Mentally.
Okay. perfect. This was the first book I wrote, and it's how to take the bad deal that we got. It shows us how we go through and we end up carrying the essence of that abuse around with us and attracting more and more and more and more of it because we're like a magnet for it. It shows you how to stop the cycles. I would send you a book if I had one, but I am completely out of print. You can order them on my website. That's KristaCain.com. Or you can order them on Amazon. It's called From Victim to Valor. And the cover is black with a woman looking in the mirror.
That's about all we have time for. Thank you, Krista.
Thank you.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.